me up. Where are we at? How's the state of mental health in America?
I will say this, my introduction to the irate homeless man decided to start kind of threatening us on the train, and it
Thank you for the
reminded
backup,
me,
because who knows if it's gonna work. You got
and
the backup just in case, because just saying, right?
because I like to do a test before, like I
Yes.
like a first minute
You're
test,
absolutely right.
and then to listen to it.
You're
That's
absolutely right.
and so what it triggered in me is the deep sense of loneliness that we still all feel from COVID. There's a lot of loneliness, and loneliness breeds anger.
Gotcha. Yeah, we definitely sense that in the city because whenever you're in the city, even in Florida or any major city, you see a real thermostat of where things are because there's so many people. So you get a lot more reactions. Whereas the people's just kind of like on their own, like in the country, they will just find a way to just, slowly
You get a
deal with it.
deep
But they'll still get
sense,
it, but it'll just
right?
a little slower. In the city, everything's like, you'll see literally people how they deal with things outside, whether people are more courteous to you, more upset with you, and also whether there's terrorist activities or whether people results are like all the mass shootings that's been happening recently. Definitely see a lot more of the state of
Yeah,
America
people are
through cities.
angry. They're angry. We don't know how to talk to people. We've got our little people growing up, and we don't know how to talk to them. So what happens is there's a layering effect of week after week, month after month of being invalidated, not being supported. Attachment isn't there, the real attachment of what kids need. And so, that's what happens. Kids end up being very angry and very depressed. I was at a function last night, not saying any names, but
Say the names.
someone said
We
to me,
want to
"Wow, I love EMDR. I love that you're doing EMDR." And she said to me, "I want to tell you something." Took my number, even texted me from the event, so I have hers, and said, "All of my friends are on antidepressants right now. We all want to get off. We need help."
Gotcha.
This is at the event we went to yesterday. We went to a skilled entrepreneur event in Midtown yesterday.
Okay.
So, you were about to say, Glenn?
Yeah, I believe we were previously at saying that the epidemic is at basically emergency level. So we're still kind of hovering there. There hasn't really been an answer in
Well, it's
sight.
worsened. It's worsened. It's
Right. And it's
worsened. And
worsened
we know
because
this
of COVID and because
statistically.
of some other things and the war and all this stuff.
Improper
People really,
attachment.
right. And as far as resolution seeking, I would say that there are a lot of products available. I heard on the news today, there's so many more products available online to people with regards to access to mental health care, access to mental health counseling. But the problem is that people will download the app, people will seek out help, but not do anything. There's no forward movement.
I
There's no
cannot,
actual
yes.
people connecting and getting answers.
Exactly.
I think there's still a, what you call it, like
Stigma?
an
A
a
stigma?
stigma between, even if it's completely anonymous, the fact that you have to sit in front of a person
And admit to
or
yourself.
talk to someone and admit the issue out front is still a huge, huge
There's deep shame. Deep,
issue.
deep
And
shame.
I remember one of my favorite movies is called Antoine Fisher. Is Denzel Washington as a therapist in the military, and the only way he gets the kid to take part in the mental health,
Process.
process is that he's obligated to be there from the military. They said, listen, you can do what you want, but you got to sit in the thing for an hour.
So can you imagine somebody paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars every single week, which is what my clients do?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that commitment? Now, I will say to you that deep shame and deep self-hatred is an intolerable feeling for many people. So what they do is they reach out, they send a little email to me, and then I respond, and that's as long as it for most of those people that, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll share another title because we're at a media location where I think it was who's the guy who was a mathematician who was super smart and
Yes,
he goes to therapy
wonderful
and he
thinking.
refuses to talk to the therapist the whole time. He's just tapping the clock the whole time, but the therapist noticed what he was
Are we
doing.
talking about Good Will
Good
Hunting?
Will Hunting, I think it was. Right. He goes to therapy, refuses to talk to the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Such a
So
great movie.
let's try to
Such a
talk.
great
But in
movie.
the end, of course, he gets helped, but only after a certain amount of time where it's just like it's me versus you, whether we're even
Do you
gonna
remember
even
how
bring
he
it
got
up.
help? Do you remember how that happened?
I think the
The
guy.
breakthrough moment?
No, but that's what I want to talk about. This should be the conversation for the day.
Yeah, the breakthrough. Because I'm about
in
making
both
breakthroughs.
Cases,
I'm about helping people make breakthroughs.
Breakthrough
that's
moments,
what I
yes.
specialize in.
Breakthrough moments is the key. But I want to, before you have a breakthrough moment in therapy or when you're talking to someone, I want to talk about the breakthrough moment that gets you in the seat in the first place. That's the key.
That's
now,
fine.
For both of those, they were both obligated to be there. They
right.
had no choice.
But the
but,
breakthrough moment
yeah.
did not happen. The breakthrough moment happened when he hugged Will and he said, "It's not your fault." And Will goes, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was up here. Yeah, 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 yeah." And he held him, which speaks to what I do, which is somatic reprocessing, body awareness, body in the body, healing in the body. Trauma is rooted in the body. So guess what he did? With that hug, which is what I teach people to do on their own, hold those parts of their body where the trauma is stored. He said, "Again, it's not your fault." And he had the real breakthrough, which is tears started streaming down because he had blamed him, because this is what children default to. They blame themselves for everything that happens. Their parents divorce. They're not getting, you know, whatever.
So prior to that breakthrough moment, both of them had, I don't know about Good Will Hunting, but I know with regards to Antoine Fisher, he had an outburst. An outburst was his cry for help. I think he would get into fights and arguments and altercations, things happening in their life
acting
to a negative
out.
Extent
acting
that
out.
Took them
tell
out
you,
of
I'll
society.
Show you what I can't communicate and express.
Right,
because
it's going to come out one way or the other.
Right,
so,
right.
So I guess my question is, how do we reach people to even get to the point past calling? I know it's kind of a problem that we haven't solved yet, and a lot of people have not solved yet. So I'm like, why not just take a look at the issue? You have all these applications, just like you have, I won't get into the other conversation, but you have all these applications that people have a fear of addressing. So what are some things that we can think of to do to modify our strategy of reaching out to people or modifying the message
we've
or modifying the
touch,
method.
We've got to get in touch with principals, with administrators. We've got to push into schools. If we can push into schools and start having discussions, not just with parents, but with children themselves, and start teaching them how to self-administer EMDR, that part of EMDR is a very meditative, you know, teaching, going in and teaching children this. Humming causes your all of your systems in your body to slow down. Teaching them tapping, teaching them how to self-administer, self-guided EMDR. It's just like this. It looks just like this. Look, tap, tap. Last night, I had a number of people who were doing it. I was showing them. You know what they were saying? Thank you. Wow, I feel calmer. We've got to get these tools out. Like, for you to look at me and to not even know about this means that we are doing such a criminal disservice to our children. Are you kidding me? They shouldn't learn about mental health in schools right now? This is where we're at. This is the biggest travesty.
Gotcha. So I think delivery method is what you're talking about.
Yes.
Delivery method is important. So we're talking about schools with children going up into the adolescent years. What are we looking at here? Are we still looking at kids? Are we talking about from 18 and under
all
education?
All of it. Why wait until they're, you know, at risk and they're in my classroom for just getting out of the day treat for you know, hospitalization because they tried to hurt a teacher? Why wait until they're in my classroom? Because that's what I did before I have this practice here. I work
reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
Right, waiting for something to happen, and then
right.
okay, well
now that
this is broken, okay, well you have to go XYZ. There's no pre-treatment.
Do you know of the clients that I sit with when I help them understand how to successfully calm and de-escalate their children, how to validate their children's feelings so their children feel more held, more understood, calmer inside. There's more space for love. There's more space for self-love. Do you know they are so grateful to me and they tell me. They come back and they say, wow, it really worked. Why don't more parents have this information?
Gotcha. Yeah, so we're still doing information distribution, I guess. Yeah. Now, going into the older, you say 18 to 24,
mm-hmm.
people are a little bit more independent, maybe 18 to 35, they're maybe out in the workforce. They have access to all these tools, but there's a lack of connection between...
To themselves.
Will I get results?
No.
Can you prove it to me?
No.
If not, why would I invest 2 seconds of my time?
They can't even hear, because the second the topic of mental health comes up, they shut down. Because they have learned from the time they're 2 years old, 4 years old, this mechanism, this coping mechanism. So be numb. So they're numb.
Gotcha. And I know, I think I might have some ideas about how to start the information conversation,
dissemination.
I think I have some ideas for you to be on with, on live with some YouTubers.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, you're talking about the ADD. You're talking about going into, you know, my sister got
ADHD
involved in.
City. Yeah, I get
my,
it.
My sister got involved
they
in.
They take to me. They like me. And they listen. I get them to listen.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm just letting you know.
I break through. Don't ask me why.
When I used
I
to
break
go
through.
Into personal training, the people that I would train, I would not train the volleyball players and the body. I'm training people who are 400 pounds, like need help. Just came from the doctor. You know, they had their outbursts. Now they're ready.
Glenn,
you know what I'm saying? They can't make it down the street. Now they're ready. So I'm just letting you know, you're going into the lion's den of people who are just like,
But I want to tell you, with each of them, I get, they are so fast.
You're anti-abortion. You're feminist. You know, there's like, you're going into the lion's den. So the next, we're going to have some clips. That's like, there's a couple of people I know are really, really doing well.
Glenn.
And you can get on with them, and
Glenn.
It's going to be, I'm just going to put you on it, because we say information dissemination, but to what that really means is you're going to put this message in people's face
Glenn,
and say, hey.
It's immediate rapport with me, because
okay.
You know what? For some reason, their parts, they're called parts in internal family system,
yeah.
Trust me, because I'm the first person who's ever spoken that one of their parts, their exile parts, is language, and
gotcha.
Understands their hurt.
Okay. All
so
right.
I come prepared.
The war, because when the message gets out.
My track record is good with
okay.
this. So you'll see.
So yeah, great
connection.
Movie. That's a
Make
little
the
bit
connection.
Of the story. There you go. That's the history.
What's next?
Now you know why I'm so gangster. So exactly. That Antoine Fisher is an amazing story. So next up is what else we got? Anything recent in the news that we need to see what the reactions are? People wilding out. I know there was I guess we don't need to talk about another mass shooting and the issues that came up with that. People are just literally either upset with politics or upset at themselves or lost a job or, you know, just for no reason.
Rent
just
being
people,
raised, doubled in certain communities.
You know, money issues and finance and things like that.
No
people
COVID,
are just...
No coping skills. Because what happened to families during COVID was mom got shut down. Why did mom got shut down? Because she re-experienced her own trauma from her own childhood and her own loneliness, and then she couldn't connect her child. It's cyclical. So these families, these parents can't connect to the children can't connect to themselves, and so they're rotting away inside in a sense. I mean, I'm talking about in the severe cases where these people either kill themselves or go out in mass shooting sprees.
Mm-hmm.
There's this just...
Untalked about, like, feelings
festering.
Their
yeah.
trauma and...
So let's talk about that coping difference. You deal with a situation, and people who are, I guess you would say, extremely mentally stable and healthy can cope with a variety of different things. And the world can throw anything at them, and they're strong, they're built, they're bully-proof, they're, job-proof, they're economically proof.
Well, this doesn't exist.
So
no.
what
no.
is the coping mechanism?
There's measurements of coping. And so what you're saying is that somebody gets completely, what's called, not depersonalization, I'm so sorry. They're decompensating, or you would say, I forget the word, it's not coming to me.
Sure.
But basically they can't cope.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot cope because they don't have the coping mechanisms and defense mechanisms to do so. This is when you would say more it would be someone who decompensates. So someone who would kill themselves or someone.
Yeah. Is this adversity training? Is these people that cannot deal with adversity because of their mental health state? Adversity meaning, okay, yeah, you were bullied at school, you or someone tried to bully you at school, you lost your job, you know, corona happens in your home all day, or somebody got sick and died, and you had to deal with you know, the adversarial nature of life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how do you get through that? Do you get through that by exploding in violence or exploding in whatever, or?
So when we talk about decompensation, I'm talking about a person that generally probably became an addict. When people have a lot of trauma, first of all, I think we started talking about the what I jumped in and said, this isn't true, because what I'm saying is that everybody has, we're all wounded in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was saying is that someone who's deeply traumatized.
Right.
And that's really what we should be more concerned about right now, because it's the deeply traumatized individual that's the drug addict,
right.
that is killing people,
yeah.
that is killing themselves. And so that's where the crisis really centers upon, is
mm-hmm.
people who are deeply traumatized. So with them, I was talking maybe something about being you know, their addiction's not working anymore. They're decompensating, that they were, you know, doing this and doing that, and it just stops working, and they just kind of implode, and they do something really crazy. And
what are the signs of that? So let's say somebody goes through adversity,
mm-hmm.
and
extreme
their reaction
severe.
Extreme. Well, you know, I mean, two people can lose their jobs. One person can have a severe reaction to that. Versus another person.
Exactly.
Maybe the person who has a severe reaction, their dad lost their job and he lost his insurance and then he died. And so they have a severe reaction to that same scenario happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or there were a lot of marriages, but also a lot of divorces during COVID. People responded different ways to that situation. They either got closer or they got further apart. And there's a lot of people that got child support cases. There were a lot of abortions, a lot of different things. People reacted to the same information differently. And some of them in a very, very negative and abusive way. So what are the signs
how
of...
How do we support them?
How do we support them? What are the initial stages of somebody that's fallen into that? And it's like, okay, three people at the table. They all lost their jobs. One person starts doing heroin. Or doing drugs to mellow down,
do you know why?
And then
you know
that doesn't even work for them anymore, and they're looking for answers. So how do you identify
Glenn,
that?
The most important thing that I will say on this podcast today, the single most important thing I'm going to say is I'm going to say now, okay? And they are in the situation that they're in shooting heroin or doing whatever because, and this is what we need to teach people: nobody knew how to talk to them. And that is where the crisis begins, and that is where the focus needs to be. So that when a person says, "Damn, man, they called me up, or I went to court again. It's child support. It's the third time. I can't handle this, man. I can't deal with this." We've got to learn in that moment what to say to that person to either decide, "I cannot handle this, and I'm going to do drugs," or, "Wow, I just felt held, heard, supported. And now I'm okay. I don't have to make that choice to go pick up or to hurt somebody." And so in that moment, when that person says that, we validate their feelings, we learn how to be with them. And there are specific trainings that I have been through and that I'm happy to start to do with people so that they learn. You validate the feelings. You first say, "Wow, that must be so hard." How many times have you said to someone, "Damn, man, I got a ticket again." And they said to you, "That must be so hard," and they listen. No, you know what they do? And they did this your whole life. This is what we knew then, right? And it's what do we know now? They would say instead, "Well, just pay it. My God, what are you getting so stressed out about? Do you see the difference?"
Right.
"Well, it's just child support. You brought that upon yourself. Do you see?" So we push people further and further into their mental health crisis or their mental health hole or whatever you want to call it. Because we don't know how to hold them and support them. Deep compassion. That is something that needs to be modeled in our society, taught, learned, experienced, and then you will see real societal changes.
Gotcha. And what do you say to, I heard this recently, let's say that you, can you do that and do other things as well? In other words, someone made this reference.
Yeah, I know.
I'm really sad. I'm really depressed.
A teachable
I'm really
moment at the
anxious.
Same time. Yeah, that comes after, Glenn. That
well,
comes after.
I'm really sad. I'm really depressed. I'm really anxious. And because of that, I am not going to function. I'm not going to go to work. I'm just going to sit at home. I'm going to wallow until I
so
get better.
Right then is when you come into the... practices to get them out of it. And
Right. You talked about that interference there when they have to be... When you have to hear the story and be compassionate to them, that's when you
then they get motivated.
Can modify that.
Yes. So it looks like... just keep this in your mind. The more you can get them to tell their story and process it and get it out, the quicker they move to taking action.
Right, and I know you talked about applying self-MDR, EMDR, and I don't want to get too much into the finance of it, but
that's
saying, so that's another thing that they can do as well, the internal processing, and they can say, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do this internal process, I'm going to apply this lesson from We Coach, and then I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to go play with the kids, I'm going to do whatever. But I did that, I took a moment, and I did that practice before I went and just swept it under the rug. Did that acknowledgement before, so that's what we're talking about here.
And it's giving them tools, like I said earlier, humming, there's different names that it's called now, because we have made so many gains in understanding somatic reprocessing in the body. All trauma begins in the body. We've made so many gains in this area that From the Body Keeps the Score, sweeping the nation. Everybody in mental health is talking about The Body Keeps the Score, right? So from books like that, understanding that it's in the body. So now we teach people how to do like muscle relaxation where they're like tensing certain muscles and letting go.
Don't give out all the goods, but I feel you. Yeah, I got you. There's a method. There's a self method, and there's also a method that you can do with another person to resolve that. Mm-hmm. And you can come, and you don't have to go left every time you face, a traumatic event.
And I work with people who want the connection. They want me to take them through, and eventually, of course, they're gonna learn how to do it for themselves. I'm proof of that, right? 20 years later, 30 years later, I'm proof that like I can do it on my own and, you know, help myself heal and then help others heal, right?
Help yourself heal and help others heal.
And that's who you want to work with. You want to work with someone who's had all that experience, right? But what I'm saying is that that the relationship, this is attachment trauma across the board, attachment trauma. And so what's the remedy, the cure, right? Attachment. But we've got to start to learn to talk to people. We have to. We cannot do the reframing and all of this. And, well, you should have just, or why don't you try it? You know, we've got to let them talk first and hear them first.
Do you guys have anything to add before I add
I did. I kind of wanted to summarize. Yeah. Because you were mentioning, let's say the person with the bulletproof mental health and then the person with weak. The start for the person with the weak is to admit that they have a problem that they need to announce and then seeking help.
Right.
And to get those coping skills is to pursue someone who has the tools, like for example Nina, in order to help resolve those.
Right.
And if not, it will only turn the person with weak mental health towards other alternatives that will not benefit them, like external substances, like
drugs. Temporary non-relief.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Distraction relief.
Pain that causes more pain. Yeah.
Products, and that will only draw a person to like other areas like loneliness and depression. And then that will further put them down into a mental weakness.
Correct. Almost like if you were obese and you wanted to lose weight and you're really sad and upset that you want to lose weight, so you have something sweet to eat or something like that because it makes you feel good in the moment while you're eating it. But then maybe you might feel a little bit more set after, but at least in that, you know, 5 minutes, you get 5 minutes of joy, and then you have to face it for the rest of the week or 24 hours non-joy. Yeah.
And that's what you've heard me say over and over, and that's Dr. Gabor Mate. I want to give him full credit that he says addiction is an attempt to avoid pain that causes more pain. Yeah,
right.
You've heard that many times. So what I want to shout from the rooftops to all mental health practitioners.
Do you want to open it? Hopefully that doesn't open because it's a high stress job. They used to be more free when the windows used to be open on a sky rise. And then after a few people started jumping out, they realized, all right, no, you don't need to have a bad Wednesday. I don't know if Weak Coach was available. But when they said go left, they meant like literally left. Yeah.
What I want to impress upon all mental health practitioners, some of them are so resistant, they're not getting trained on IFS and EMDR, but I want to shout, talk therapy doesn't work. It's outdated. This is clearly illustrated, and supported in the very famous psychiatrist, the book, The Body Keeps the Score, that I keep alluding to. And we need to get that. We're doing a tremendous disservice to people by not getting the training that we need to be able to work with EMDR and IFS, you know, and these people are afraid of it. Most therapists, I feel, are very afraid because it's, you are going deep inside to resolve that, but it's necessary for relief. It's necessary for resolve. Yes, Chris?
I was listening.
Okay. I keep feeling like you're not giving Chris any space to speak.
No, well,
speak up,
well,
Chris.
Because this is your market, but I do understand that part of it is body language. That's required in, instead of just talking, because part of that trauma is related to actions that were affecting us, and then we need the opposite of that. We need certain types of actions that are love related, like a hug. And I don't want to spoil any of the tools, but
yeah,
or the certain senses.
A whole industry. Sensory
yes.
Therapy became a whole industry.
Exactly.
It's actually undercut, where it's showing up on TikTok or some other places. It's like,
yes.
No, just a cuddle friend or a talk friend or whatever,
right.
You know. Well, like, it's really becoming a thing.
Do you know that a woman said to me yesterday
male
evening,
and female. The guys love to get
she
guys
said
in therapy.
To me. She
exactly.
said to me.
You know?
She goes, it's all over Instagram. She goes, are you on Instagram? And I'm like, well,
kind
you know,
of, yeah.
My producer is kind of like, you know,
yeah, you
like
have an Instagram.
Yeah,
yeah,
something like that.
You should
right?
be coach.
You know, but I'm like, oh, I'm not on it so much. But she said, it's all over Instagram, this somatic reprocessing
yeah.
that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where am I?
That's where we're working on developing,
right.
Hence
right.
Why we made our trip here.
So I started studying something called the Rosen
That's
Body
where
Method.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. I started studying something called the Rosen Body Method. So I'm not using the Rosen Body Method right now. It is done on a person, massaging them. I've developed an incredible love for it about 20 years ago, okay? What I have shown some people, I don't know, now that I'm with you here, I could show you, Glenn, is just something simple.
I had to get the audio response.
You just have your partner or someone, this is all they do. And I've done it to... my partner, and he's been like, wow, you know, he's just randomly just...
A little higher into the... No, I'm
kidding. do you see what I'm doing? That's all you do is you
yeah.
just press, and it makes the person feel grounded and heard, and it's stuff like that, you know,
yeah.
that I want people to... So what I explain to them that they can do in sessions when I'm with them is I just have them press really, really firmly, like if they're saying that they're feeling... whatever we're working on, right? If they're saying, I say, where do you feel that in your body? And so maybe they'll say in their stomach, so I say, you know, press firmly, really hold that part. And from doing that, they're able to get a deeper experiencing of that reprocessing.
I definitely agree. And that's
yeah.
awesome, that's good method. Let me see if I can come up with something controversial.
Did you feel a bit calmer?
What's that?
Did you feel a bit calmer after I did that?
Oh yeah, I love a good press.
Yeah.
I love a good press. Yeah, there's certain massage techniques that are pressing massages,
mm-hmm.
pressing and holding,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to
right.
some of the other, you know, forms of,
yes.
of massage and tension relief. So pressing
Isn't
massages are really interesting.
So
don't have enough money to keep doing yeah,
well, what
yeah.
What it really speaks to is the parts of all of us that we can all, you know, admit that we weren't held enough, probably. We probably weren't. We didn't know then that you need to hold a kid a hell of a lot for them to have their attachment need met. We didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I understand. For me, I had trouble sleeping. I needed to wait for my uncle to come home in order to sleep because
mm-hmm.
My family has, like, a bad history of men not being, like, enough in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And hence why I strive for looking for male figures to aspire and, mm-hmm. and look up to. And that's an example of, like, me needing a male figure to be held by in order to sleep well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I
yeah,
just came up
absolutely.
With a good business concept,
absolutely.
Actually.
Yeah, is it for cuddling parties?
No, it's... I will discuss... what's it called? What'd you say?
Cuddling parties?
close. But yeah,
them.
I have a great concept, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll work it out. Well, definitely,
definitely
I'll talk with you. Off air thieves.
Definitely. Offline.
Yeah, exactly.
Offline.
But yeah, there's
sure.
definitely a market for something there. But
yeah. I mean, I think that we need to get the message that it's not just all of the healing aspects. I mean, I've got an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old, almost 14 at the end of the month, he's 14. And we need to understand that they need more connection. And how do we facilitate in communities how to create spaces where kids are joining together, gathering together more? I don't know if you guys realize this, but there really aren't enough spaces.
Yeah,
for kids. Kids are gathering together in communities. And that's really what we need to start to kind of understand. Because just that connection part, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be somatic and reprocessing and trauma and whatever, all this. You know, let's just get kids together more.
Right. Yeah, it's another concept.
And they're angry. I don't know if you notice this, but kids are really angry when they're getting together.
Yeah.
They're angry.
There's definitely models where you can have like guided playtime and you know, get everybody together. And this is, you know, the church does this a lot, where not that it's false pretenses, but it kind of is, where they're just like, hey, we're all going to do something together. We're all going to go to a bowling event or something like that, whatever. But while you're there, you're around certain people who are maybe mature, responsible, maybe guided, and they're looking out for you spiritually. They're showing you what a sound event is, and anytime something comes up, they can talk with you about it. But it's really enabling discord and attention and all that kind of stuff into like a
I just want to say that I dysregulation. I said decompensation. Where's the word? Dysregulation. We were talking about dysregulated individuals, because EMDR is about regulation, and you know, it reminds me of co-regulation. You know, this is incredibly important. Is co-regulation is helping. I thought of that because I thought about when my kids are on their video games, which is horrible. I'm so embarrassed and ashamed. You know, I'm in the mental health field. I know how bad it is, but they're doing it. And what I notice is the anger, the cursing, and it's a built up frustration. First of all, their intimacy with nature is not enough. And nature and intimacy with nature is one of the most grounding components, and they're not. So how could they not be angry?
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting their feet in the dirt.
Video games definitely has a... Video games and things that are competitive and where you have an immediate result within, you know, 2 minutes or 3 minutes of playing a game, definitely brings out your competitive nature first off. And it just deepens that lack of, you know, you're talking to a computer, so it's not really a person. So if you say something or do something, it shouldn't really matter. Yeah. But it definitely has an aggressive end to certain people who do play video games. To certain people, it depends.
I like that. You said aggressive end.
Well, you know,
that's
everything.
That's a problem.
Everything. But this is the thing. This is like a lot of things in America, a lot of things in the world. There is an initial thought. But then there's the consequences of that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And even in government, you pass a law, you don't know what the consequences are going to be of that same law 20 years later. You could say, I want to pass a clean water bill, and it dirties the water, horrible, worse than it could ever be in 20 years later. You don't know. Not everybody, we can't play in the future and in the past at the same time. You don't know. You play video games because you want to do something fun and relaxing. You don't know it's going to end up at your mom throwing your video game console out the window. You don't know that. You know, you kind of can see the YouTube videos and see that's, hey, this is where this is going to end. If you have, but then again, we kind of know that boys, especially, everybody needs to be able to express themselves and be creative. And unfortunately, for a lot of boys, I think Jordan Peterson talked about this, the most aggressive people in the world will be men, just in general. Now, there's a lot of people in the middle, but the most aggressive people will be men in general. And a lot of men, that's a part of their lives. They you know, I'm very aggressive, but it's all about where do you put that? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
If you want to be aggressive and get in fights every day, okay, maybe you should be a police officer.
How do you
if you can control
that?
It a little,
how do you
focus
that?
It? You know, if you like danger, you know, and you want to total life, maybe you're a firefighter.
Yeah, like for me, you gotta catharsis and shadow boxing in order to channel that anger.
You
out.
Have to channel, and it's all about channeling it the right way. But you're still doing the same thing. You're still doing exact. You're still wrestling people. You're still
there's
fighting
a healthier
people.
Approach. That's
there's
all
a
we're
healthier.
Talking about
There's a
a
healthier approach.
healthier approach.
If you want to scream at people all day, maybe you're being an announcer or talker guy or something like
There you
that.
go.
And you can scream at anybody
There you
and
go.
Get paid for it. You know what I'm saying? So
you can become an EMDR therapist, and guess what? Guess what? EMDR is about being in the past and being in the present, as Francine Shapiro describes it herself. Being in the past and being in the present at the same time.
Yeah, I was super controlling, and so I turned into a personal trainer so I could tell everybody what to do. When I literally count every rep. I love it. One, two. That's not a full two. Like, yeah,
it's
I love
great
it. But
that
they,
you know you're
but
you,
you got to get. But as a child,
you still
you're still learning.
Let me help you explore that.
Yeah, so. As a child, you're still learning. Under 10 years old, under 13 years old, you haven't found channels yet to to use it properly.
Yeah.
So
I want to share two factors that I know that need to be announced for our kids, and it's just reminders. Part of it is the tech, part of it is the video games, part of it is the phone. It's just seeing how many of the kids will use their phone instead of actually putting their phone down and interacting with the kids, or how many of them need a phone in order to converse with the other kids.
Yeah.
And then the COVID with the social distancing, preventing them to be like more playful and touchy and all that. So it's like the decrease in actually playing and interacting all these games outside and instead of indoors on these, like,
so,
for example, video games.
So what actionable next steps can we give our viewers? Because Glenn has actually coined that. And I think if you want to talk about actionable next step, any viewer that's hearing this that is a parent, for example, go inside. Look at where you might be without consciousness. This is all unconscious, so that's why it's more an investigation, discovery, a curiosity. We start with a curiosity because these parts are unknown, unfelt, unseen, unaware, okay? So we go inside and we say, where is it that I might be feeling like connection with my child is challenging, and so I don't have dinner with them and just stare deeply into their eyes, which is what children need the most. They need eye contact, sitting with them, just looking at them in an uninterrupted way. Where is it that it's hard? Why is it hard for me? Why does that bring up anxiety? Or why do I not do it at least twice a week, sitting at the dinner table and just staring deeply into his or her eyes? So it really begins with the willingness to start to investigate. And if you need help with that investigative process, you can definitely get in touch with me, because this is what I am about. This is what I eat, sleep, and breathe. But I think if you don't want to get in touch, like let's say you don't have the funds for that, at least take this gift with you of really being able to, and doing it in a somatic way, asking, yeah, okay, where might there be trauma stored? Because sometimes you have a presentation of a person who they just get stomach aches all the time. Good. That's the time to start to investigate where trauma might be surrounding that stomach ache.
Instead of having dinner with TV with the family.
Yeah, I think that parenting is really interesting because parenting, just like, and it's just, let's take it away from parenting. You're doing something new. And a lot of times when you're doing something new, people react in different ways. And one way to react is, I'm doing this new thing, and I'm super scared. You know, you go into, maybe right then it's the moment where you can contact WeCoach or reach out to your mental health representative and say, all right, why am I scared at new things? Or how do I accomplish new things, different things, things I've never done before?
Yeah.
And for me, I and a lot of men, I think I just watched this on Steve Harvey, do it from a research analysis. I'm not scared, but I want to know everything about this, so I'm going to do as much research as possible, fill my mind up with information so that I can apply it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would just say is that you can fill your mind up in an empty room about what you think is in the empty, dark room. But if there's someone else that's already been in the dark room for a while, you can also ask them, because they know where the bookshelf is. They know where the, watch your knee here. They know where the, so you can fill your head up as much information with the inventory list, but you're still walking through a dark, empty room.
And that's something that can also overwhelm someone's mental health.
It can greatly overwhelm. And a lot of parents say, well, listen, I don't trust anything. I hit my head, I hit my knee on the table, so I'm just going to stay on this wall right here. I'm not going to investigate the rest of the room. But as a parent, one thing that you always have to think about is this. Being a great parent is about how creative you can be. How creative can you be? Do you offer 15 solutions or one solution? Do you offer only the one solution that your mom told you when you were 7? Or did you say, is there another way to look at this? This is why you talk to someone else. You get two heads better than one. Mm-hmm. You talk to someone who's like, yeah, there's 13 ways to look at this, actually. The only way, if your kids are playing video games because that's what you settled on, it's almost like inventing the wheel. You don't have to there's no book on parenting, but you don't have to reinvent the wheel with every new experience.
Right. Well, I will say this too. I will say that one of the most important, the second most important things I'll say today is that we have to be careful if we want dependent children, we over-control them. If you want dependent children. If you want independent, autonomous, confident children, leaders in our community, you've got to stop coddling kids. So I don't want for one second people to believe that just because I believe that you need to validate the feelings and tune in and listen and be that, you've got to let them make some choices and make some of their own mistakes. Jordan Peterson had such a great one I posted on Facebook.
Yes.
He had a kid swinging on navigating the playground, and it looked sort of dangerous, and he was like, let them fall, let them learn. Like, we're not talking about it. It wasn't an image of a kid doing something overly dangerous, but we rush in and we try this, little Johnny, put this. Be a witness to their experiences. Stop going in and saying, why don't you put the block here? Ooh, that looks like a good idea.
Telling them
be a witness. Don't overcome.
Failure's okay. And
yeah, there's so many positive. People have done the research. People have been having kids for millions of years. There's research. There's data. There's information. You don't just have to stay just because you hit your knee one time on the table. Now you're emotionally stuck on the wall. And you don't want to move off that wall. And you're just like, well, you know, this is just what it is. You want to make sure that you are, that's probably there. You want to make sure that you are not stuck on the wall, that you're looking for the information that's there. You're reaching out to the hands that are there to help you, and you find other ways to solve the issue. For me, the video game situation was easily solved by putting it on a timer, saying, okay, this we can do this for a certain amount of time, but there's also lots of, hey, do you want to do something else? Do you want to do something fun? Do you asking questions? Stole your technique, sorry. But do you want to play outside? Do you want to, you know, and not all that you time, that one-on-one time.
You're applying.
I'm sorry, I'm giving you all the secrets.
No, but yeah, you're giving a ripple effect.
But yeah, definitely.
No,
you're giving information. You're asking, you're experiencing them with him, and you're not just stuck on the wall saying, well, they want to play video games. I guess they control the house, and so 24 hours of video games, I guess that's fine.
I will say this. I do see this constantly around the playground, and it's something that we can think about. And I'm not criticizing anybody. Please, it's just kind of bits of information that you can take or not take, and I'm okay with either. But when a child falls and the parent rushes in and says, you're okay, I wouldn't do that. First of all, why tell a child what they feel? You know, it's subtle, but it's not something that I would advise. And I know I'm definitely gonna have a lot of people hating me for saying this, because it's just.
That's why it's sleepy. So you can still continue it. Like,
gotcha.
Just record another one. Okay. So I would save it. And
technical
then,
difficulties.
And then record another one.
But so I would definitely say that. With applying that, like,
I'll come and finish this over thing.
I'm just saying because when it, if it goes out, yeah, you got to make sure it's still going.
Can I save it as drive?
Save.
And I'll title all this stuff.
Yeah, this setup is different. I honestly have not done it with laptop.
I'll finish this over at the.
So
thing,
something is seemingly to... innocent. So seemingly innocent is like, you're okay, and they're so loving about it. You're okay. You want the child to learn and to discover whether or not, and what if the child, what if that's a manipulation? The child's not okay.
Yeah.
You know, and so why not instead say, are you okay? We've moved
away.
Right,
goes back away to your other thing you were saying, which is addressing, confirming how they feel, experiencing that with them, seeing it, not just telling them to ignore it. It's the whole point. I think ignoring, are people ignoring? Everyone, is that what they're doing?
Yes, and that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Is that we have now trained children to ignore their feelings. Look at how deep this is.
Mm-hmm.
We have systematized, because everywhere you go, this is the model. This is now what you hear.
Address. You can move on, but you need to address.
I'm saying everywhere you go, literally every playground in New York City, if you stop by, you're going to hear someone going, "You're okay." The kid falls down. "You're okay."
Okay.
You know? The kid falls down on the floor. no matter what the kid does, short of like spilling blood, it's you're okay.
So what if you say,
"Are you okay?
Oh, are you good? Oh my God, what happened?"
No, you don't need to say, "Oh my God."
Wow, your eye is gone. Wait, I'll tell you what I do. I'm a great part person, but not everybody is. I mean, we have a lot more to
bring
talk
back
about. So many different
four.
Ways.
I'll bring dirt,
and I'll bring grass in the house.
There's so many different ways. Well, there's ways where some people are good with kids at the park and some people are not good with kids at the park. And so there's usually two groups of people. It's somebody that's really skilled and knows how to play with the kids at the park all day, and somebody else who freaks out over every little thing doesn't have the patience to deal with it and doesn't have the time.
It's the overprotection.
I think it goes back to giving parents tools, because every podcast that I do, I want to make sure that I give people tools, real life tools.
That's a good analogy, because there is a tool belt available. There's not just one. You're using like a stone to fix every problem.
I pull from
you can have
Khan,
a whole tool belt. This is available
Albert,
these days.
John Holt,
welcome.
Larry Cohen.
It's my utility belt.
Dr. Gabor Mate. The Body Keeps the Score, the very famous psychiatrist, I cannot say the name, this is what I do. I tell everybody, it's not original, I'm sorry, I'm not creative, I just replicate. That's
so,
all I do, is I replicate the best in the field. Naomi Aldort, another genius. Alfie Kahn, yes, this is where I learned not to control children. I'm going to just be really honest, I don't have one original concept.
No,
everything was taken from these authors.
I'm
going to
share you
theorists
this.
Theorists and psychologists.
I'm
going to
share you
physicians
this
as well.
As a health coach, we each have our different approach. We each have our different impact. So it can be your voice. It can be your method. Each individual that approaches it will be able to impact other certain individuals or other individuals. So that's what I understand as
right,
coaches.
Right. Well, like Naomi Aldort, you know, she's got a short little video on teasing. What does she say? I'll give it to you in 30 seconds, what she says in like 3 minutes. She says, we teach children about teasing. The very first experimentation was like, "You're stupid. Mommy, he called me stupid." That's the moment that you rush in and be like, you know, she makes a joke about it. You can just, you know, kind of do whatever you want to do. But she's like, stupid. Oh, what a funny word. Oh, my God, what does that even mean? That's so funny. Immediately, completely taking the power, de-empowering or disempowering the word, so that, you know, it has gotten sometimes complicated with my children. They're older now, and that video game stuff, you know, I do hear the teasing and whatever. And for the first time, my son's 11. He's never come to me ever about the teasing. We've always used that application from Naomi Aldort, you know, of like, you know, making a joke or something about it, not joking at the child's expense, not at all, but just being like, "What a funny word!" And then it just doesn't happen anymore. But I do notice that my 11-year-old will come to me and say something like, "Asher said I suck at that," you know, and that video game or something, and it did hurt the kid, you know. And what I say is, I say, "Jacob, you know who you are, right?" You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know who you are. And I'm just going to say lots of things, but by now you know for yourself what is. And I try to use that approach with them. You know, I do try. It's important to hear the child's feelings, but I kind of bypass that a little bit at this point, because I think it's more important to rush in and help him understand that by now he's 11 years old. He does know who he is. And Ash is just attempting to kind of destabilize him in his, you know.
Well, boys will do that, and one thing that video game does, unfortunately, is that it makes kids deal with a lot of things that they normally wouldn't have to deal with until they're like maybe in their 20s or something like that, in their 18s.
Right, right.
And so you're forcing this information on, you're making them grow up really, really fast. So you're still working on building your foundation with your kids, and you're still working on making them mentally strong. So at 6 and 8 years old, 10 years old, and 11 years old, it's still too young for them to even be dealing with these worldwide issues where they got to deal with global bullying, You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's very, normally you don't get a lot of this until like high school, the end of high school, 14 to 18. Then they, but they've already, you've already had 14 years to work on installing, you know, the foundation to the kids. But now you get like no time. You got to start bullying-proofing these kids at 5 and 6 years old. Like you get no time to, you know, the and these other kids, as soon as they sense weaknesses and things like that, you gotta address it right away.
And
So it's
I think the
tricky.
point I'm trying to make is that, you know, you see the mom at the park who goes, "Oh my gosh, he called you what?" I mean, this is really rule, you know, 101, how to create a child that could be bullied. 101, rule number 101. If you want to create a child that can be bullied in school, that's what you do. But the important thing is that the child walk away with a deep sense of I forgot what I was gonna say all of a sudden. It keeps happening.
A deep sense of
Finish my
self-value,
sentence.
self-worth, and you know, not be affected by that. It's challenging,
You feel that?
but yeah, it's challenging. But for me, the way I've dealt with, well, my dad was a military dad, and my family's a military family, so we deal with video games a little bit differently.
But
You
also,
get your
what?
time, but I play video games too. I try to use it as like really just kind of a cool down. Some people do happy hours with alcohol and drinks and stuff like that. Some people will do edibles or weed, whatever. But I tend to like, I just want to sit in my little thing and I have my hour to just relax and chill. But for me, it's very calming.
Right. But I
So.
think what we're talking about is how do we challenge with that whole topic that I was just on, how do we challenge our existing views? Like, for example, he shouldn't use that word. So, ma'am, you need to, you know, so it could go this way at the park. You know, ma'am, your child just called mine stupid. And she it doesn't occur to her to kind of approach it from the angle of making her child completely immune
Yeah.
to those words. It doesn't work that way for that
Yeah, the
child. It works
overprotectiveness, yeah, and entitlement,
the
yeah.
over control. Like instead, you know, and that's what you have to do. You focus on, but with that mom, she's probably not able to challenge what she grew up with. Well, I grew up, you don't use those words.
Right.
And if you do, there's a consequence. There's a punishment, which, you know, that's a whole different topic. I mean, if you really want children who are self-directed, who are autonomous, you know, all that punishment, it's a way of augmenting behavior, but they're going to learn kindness from it being modeled. Like my children, I mean, I don't want to brag, but I'm constantly told about how kind they are, how loving they are, how sweet they are, how helpful, cooperative, flexible, all the time. I mean, I interact with their teachers constantly, right? And there was no punishment. There was no punishment. You know, what was the real punishment? Loss of respect from their parent. What do I mean by that? Asher, you really hurt Jacob. I'm so upset right now. I am so upset. The loss of that connection temporarily with that child is the worst punishment you could ever. Above that is create a child that's control that, you know, I'm talking about, I want the company owner. I'm not talking about the janitor that, you know what I mean? If that's what you want, then keep imposing those consequences and restrictions and whatever. They don't become self-regulated. Let them learn for themselves natural consequences.
I agree. I agree. All right, that's it. End of our controversial.
Then where
Controversial
was
takes.
the
Well, I was going, you know,
controversy? No, but where was,
that
I
felt light. If it
want
was controversial
it.
for
This felt
me,
like, well, no, it's
for
very
me.
powerful because
Did it feel controversial? Why?
before we attack the crazy stuff, I just wanted to see about delivery and effectiveness and things like that. But I mean, I guess
The
something that's controversial.
non-consequences, is
Well,
it?
you know, when we're talking about kids, it's one thing, and kids and video games and how they act and raging and all that kind of stuff, that they can definitely be addressed. Just going more, switching subjects. You talked a little bit about the mother who's overprotective, who has one frame of mind, and it's like, where does she get that in her head to react to her kids that way? But I guess the theme that I'm saying is the who hurt you theme. Who hurt you? A lot of people learn from direct experience. Some people learn from their friends and their family's experiences. And they say wise people learn from other people's experiences. So I don't have to go through the trauma myself to know. I don't have to get my hand burned by the fire to know that it's hot. I can see that they burn their hands. All right, I learned. So either way, I guess we all learn from someone who was hurt how to deal with things. But it just depends on Who is that, you, or is that someone you know, or is that someone that you read about or heard about, or in history? That's why we have history books. We don't have to drown to know that somebody else drowned.
I
You know what
couldn't
I'm saying?
go
So.
by my own experience because there was none. It was the neglect was so severe and so abject that I didn't have models. So what I do when I was pregnant?
Yeah.
I had to go out and buy every book on the market. I
Right. So
can't
you
think.
went by other people's information. So the
I had
question,
to.
so
I
just.
couldn't go by my own
But I'm just
experience.
talking about that phrase when someone says, "Who hurt you?" Right? Obviously, because it's like most people say that when the person has learned something, and they learned it through someone's hurt and trauma, but maybe they don't know who. So maybe you read it somewhere, and you're like, "Well, no, I actually read that if you don't do this, this, and this, then this will happen. If you don't have hot, high temperature gloves on when you touch fire, your hand. Well, I didn't have to, But they were like, no, did you burn your hand? What happened to you? So what do you think about how people use hurt as lessons and opportunity to learn in their current lives? Do you believe that they should touch the
I
fire to
believe they
get
don't
burned, or
learn
do you believe that?
anything until they have an emotional experience where they really feel. And that's really what we are trying to get away from, the intellect and into the heart space, because the mind recreates what the heart cannot heal. And so all of this is very academic, but the bottom line is you're not going to see anybody really change and do anything unless they have an emotional experience. So my talking about it, he's recently, he wants to be the poster child.
Yeah.
He's recently gone into therapy, and I tell him, I try to, when there's something that he's working on that he shared with me, I say to him, but where do you feel that in your body? Like it's really up here, but we don't heal, until,
Yeah, it
you see
hasn't
what I
connected
mean?
yet.
And
Connected yet,
also,
no.
and let me just finish off the parenting piece. Guys, you've got to focus on what are your end goals. If your end goal is to have that very, independent, self-directed child, then it's important that you scale back on the control, and punishment is a form of control and manipulation, right? So that's why I'm saying that going above the child already feeling recoiling in pain and terror because my mom, oh my gosh, if you only knew how much a child needs to be in good standing with their parent, if you knew that because you understand attachment theory, you wouldn't need to pile on 10,000 other consequences on top of that. And that is the problem. You see, it begins and it ends with not understanding attachment.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. We'll leave it there.
Okay.
And thanks for coming out, Chris. Thanks, Nina. And another great, powerful We Culture episode that will be streaming somewhere.
Sweeping the nation.
Streaming the nation.
On
Multiple parts.
Spotify.
We're in
And guess what?
Spotify
I'm
and
okay
Anchor
with it
and
just being us.
YouTube. And we'll put it together,
Each
live
time
with
we
things.
grow more and more each time that we join together and we learn new
Yes.
things and we bond, and
Some
so
good
it's
stuff. All right. Appreciate you
fun.
guys' time. Appreciate
Yeah.
it. Thank you.